morning, Life Point Church. Thank you all so much for being here with us today. Those of you that are here in person, thank you to those who are joining us online on either Facebook or YouTube, whatever it is that you're watching. Thanks for being a part of Life Point Church. And today we're starting a new message series that I guess verbally I'm going to call Habits. The graphic, the image that we see that we have for this is bad habits with the word bad crossed out, and I'm going to explain that here in a minute. But leading up to this series, I don't know that if you've ever noticed or if you've paid attention, but leading up to a new year, and for the first like few weeks, even a month into the new year, I noticed it. And I see it because I get all these ads and all this communication, and I hear people talking about making the upcoming year your best year yet. Right? How many of you have ever heard that or seen that coming into a new year? Right? If you're online, you know, go ahead and throw up an emoji on that if you have. But you know, it's this whole concept like, hey, 2021's coming or 2021's here. Let's make it our best year yet. And so then typically, depending on what the company is that's sending that ad out, like it follows with, you know, make it the best year yet. So join our gym, you know, buy our new car on this new lease or this new loan, you know, whatever it might be, or, you know, get on this new social media platform, or it's a perfect time to sign up for this dating app, right? There's all these prescriptive things that they want to give us on how we're going to make the upcoming year our best year yet. And let's be honest, you know, in 2021, like we all really want it to be a great year, like probably more than ever. More than any other year that we've probably experienced, we're like, let's make 2021 the best year yet, right? We want that. We want that for our world, but we want it for ourselves as well, right? And I think we all, deep down, want to be like better versions of ourselves, right? So that we can think in the year, like I said a couple weeks ago, it's like that reboot. So it's like we want to make sure that we're the best version of ourselves, that physically and mentally we're healthier, right? That we're happier, that we're more fulfilled than ever. It's the best year yet. Like we want to be on point financially. We want to win and excel in our careers and to have healthy and strong relationships. Like we want all these things. We want to remove the toxic habits from our life. We want to have more confidence. We want to be more efficient, more effective, more self-aware, more focused. We simply want to have our best year yet. And in thinking about this, I'm sure that we all can sit back, it won't take us long, and identify some of the things in our life that we need to maybe make improvements on, right? Some aspects or things in our life that continue to hold us back year after year. Things that honestly we know we need to change. But today, and throughout this series, what I want to do is I want to switch up the perspective a little bit in how we actually make the next year our best year yet. I want to switch our perspective and the way we look at it, because you see, we're not going to accomplish this, right? We're not going to make the coming year, this year, our best year yet by hyper-focusing on all the negative things in our life. Like, we're really not going to get traction in doing that. But rather, it's going to be accomplished by making sure that in 2021, that it is our best year spiritually. Like, that's how we're going to make sure that this coming year is our best year yet. It has to do with whether or not it's going to be our best year spiritually. And I've been thinking a lot about this here in January, and not only for myself, but for Life Point Church, and for you all. I want to make sure that we as a church and as a community, that we are all moving forward, and we are ensuring that this is going to be our best year spiritually. That's how this is going to get accomplished. Not by hyper-focusing on all the negative things in our life, but by hyper-focusing on Jesus. right? By focusing on our relationship and connection with Him like never before, because it's in and through Jesus, and only in and through Jesus, that true life change happens. So if you have those negative things in your life, or those bad habits, or those things that you know you need to change, how about instead of just fixating on that, we fixate on Jesus, and we let Him do the work in and through us. And one of the ways that we're going to do that is by focusing on habits. Right? We're going to focus on habits. And again, this is a switch up, right? We're not going to be talking about the bad habits that we need to get rid of, but rather the positive and healthy habits that if we begin to focus on, and if we begin to put into practice and press play on, and if we actually anchor them into our lives, like daily, or as close to daily as we possibly can, it's going to begin to take our lives to the next level, our relationship with God to the next level. And then ultimately what happens is it begins to suffocate and kill off all of those bad things that we need to change. It's a direct result of that. So we're not focusing on the negative, we're focusing on Jesus, and we're letting Him do that work through us. And for me, this change in focus is in how we approach habits, it is super important to me. And it's been really eye-opening for me, because in growing up, I grew up in a very conservative, fundamentalist church that any time, like really all that they really focused on, or at least all that I recall and remember, is that I always had someone pointing their finger at me, waving their finger at me, telling me all the things I was doing wrong, telling me the things that I shouldn't do. Don't do this. Don't go there. Don't wear this. Don't do this and don't do this. They focus so much time on that, as opposed to focusing on what they should have been doing, was pointing me in the direction of Jesus. Showing me and telling me the things that I could do to grow in my relationship with Jesus so that He could change me from the inside out. Even when they actually taught about spiritual habits, right? Like, it was always from like this negative, fear-based perspective. It was never healthy. It was like, hey, you need to read your Bible and pray every day, at least 20 to 30 minutes, at least. And if you don't, God's going to be mad at you. And you're not living in His will for your life. And if you're not in His will, you're in trouble. Bad things might happen. So it was approaching these very healthy spiritual habits in a very negative and unhealthy way. And as a result of that, I saw countless people just completely bail on the church. Ultimately bailing on God, because you see, they were losing their battle to whatever it is that they were facing. Whatever it is that they were wrestling with. Whatever sin that they were struggling with. They were losing that battle time and time again because they were, one, trying to take it on in their own power. And two, they were constantly being beat up over the fact that, you know what? I can't measure up to this church's standard of perfectionism, of their standard of morality, their standard of spirituality. I can't measure up to that. So they were defeated and they just bailed. So we're going to focus on switching this thing up. We're going to not focus on the bad habits, but on the spiritual habits that if we begin to put into practice in our lives, in our daily lives, it will lead us into a deeper relationship with Jesus. And thus, it will lead to life change. It will lead to our best year yet. That's how it's going to happen. So over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be discussing some of these key spiritual habits that we see in Scripture that we as Christ followers have the privilege of practicing. Like, truly, it's a privilege to practice and to implement these things into our lives. And they're spiritual habits that all Christ followers should be practicing. And I don't say that as a finger waver, you know, saying you better do this, you better do that. No, I'm saying we get the privilege to do that. And when you do this, your relationship with God is going to explode better than it's ever been. It's going to take your relationship and your life to the next level. You see, there's these spiritual habits that will enable you to grow and move forward in your faith. It's spiritual habits that can and will lead to life change. right? You know the bad habits that you have. You know the things in your life that you need to remove. And by focusing on the positive spiritual habits and practicing them, those things are going to be eliminated. Jesus is going to take them away. He's going to replace them. And it's these spiritual habits that will lead you into living and loving more and more like Jesus. That's what I want for my life, and that's what I want to see for your life. And so my goal for this series truly is the best that I can. You know, I like to overcomplicate everything. If you know me, this is my jam. But I really want to keep this simple, right? Very practical and to the point. And so as we get going today and beginning to kick off this series, we're going to cover, throughout the series, like I said, we're going to cover these habits, right? Habits that we can implement and press play in our life. But as we do this, I want to let you know right out the gate, right off the bat, none of this is meant to make you feel guilty. None of this is meant to say you need to do this, and if you don't, God's mad at you. These are things to build you up spiritually so that you can have your best year ever. Your best year spiritually ever. And so as we go through these things, I want to remind you that God is not looking for perfection. Like, let's just be clear about that right out the gate. God is not looking for perfection because, newsflash, like, he knows that you're not perfect, and he knows that you're never going to be perfect here in this world. Like, it's a fact. Like, it's not going to happen, and he knows that. That's why he sent his son, Jesus. That's why he extends to us grace and mercy and love. So as you begin to work through implementing these spiritual habits that we're going to be discussing, I just want you to know that, because I don't want you to get discouraged when you trip up. Not if you trip up, but when you trip up. I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't want you to get discouraged when things get a little messy, right? When you mess up, and things aren't going according to plan. And I don't want you to get discouraged, and I definitely don't want you to give up and quit when you fall off the wagon on one of these disciplines, these habits. I don't want you to quit. But instead, what I want you to do is I want you just to get back up, receive God's love and grace, and keep it moving. Like, it's really that simple. Because God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for connection. Let me say that again. I really want you to remember that. God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for connection. And so with that said, we're going to start out this series by looking at some of the habits that we can implement in our life and the habits of connecting with God. You see, there are all kinds of habits that lead us into a deeper connection with Jesus. And that's where I want us to begin to focus on. We're kind of jumping around in this series a little bit, but we're going to focus on connecting with God for this week and next week. And then we're going to move on to some other habits. But we're going to focus right now on connecting with God. So if you want to make, like I said, this is your best year yet. If you want to grow spiritually, if you want your relationship with God to really explode like never before, it's going to start with connecting. Right? Connecting with God consistently. The habit of connecting with Him. You see, think about it from just a general relationship standpoint. Like, any relationship in your life, like whether it be with your spouse, the person you're dating, with your kids, your coworkers, your friends, any relationship, if you want it to go to the next level, and if you want it to grow, you have to spend more time connecting with that person, right? I mean, that's kind of a given. We've got to spend time with them. You got to spend time, like, having conversations with them, laughing with them, crying with them, being open and honest with them. Like, you truly have to be in relationship, transparent, and communicating and connecting with them. And it's the exact same thing when it comes to our relationship with God. You see, if you want to understand and know God more, which I venture to say if you're here today or if you're watching online, that's one of your goals, is you want to know God more. If you want to be closer to Him, if you want to hear His voice more clearly, if you want to feel His presence in your life, you have to connect with Him. Like, you have a part to play in that. He's always going to be there. See, relationships are two ways, right? It takes both parties. And God is always going to be there, always waiting to connect with you. The ball's really in your court. So if you want to grow in your relationship with Him, if you want to grow spiritually, you have to connect with Him. And you have to connect with Him consistently, routinely. You have to make it a habit. So what does this actually look like in our lives, right? To have this routine habit of connecting with God. Well, when we look at Scripture, we see several different ways that we can practice habits of connecting with God. Different ways that we can connect with Him. Like, really, there are numerous, like, just there's so many ways that we can connect with God. But for the sake of our series, we're going to focus, when talking about connecting with God, let's focus on four different habits. We're going to talk about the habit of prayer, the habit of fasting, the habit of solitude, meditation, which I know people get freaked out about. It's okay, it's in the Bible. And then we're going to talk about taking in God's Word. See, four things that honestly are probably no surprise to you if you've been in church for any length of time. But for whatever reason, like, we continue to struggle with these things. A lot of people struggle with these things. I've been in the church my entire life. I'm a pastor. And I struggle with these things from time to time. To make them consistent habits in my life. Just to be honest with you. It's a struggle at times. You see, a lot of times it's a struggle for us because we get busy. Right? Or maybe it's a struggle because of some type of lack of understanding. Like, I don't understand fasting, so I'm just not going to do it because it seems weird. And, you know, whatever. We just have a lack of understanding. Or maybe it's feeling of being unworthy. Or fear. Or feelings of failure. Feelings of guilt and shame that prevents you from practicing these habits. Like, coming before God. Maybe it's just because you've been so distant from God. You just feel like, you know, I can't. And you just continue to keep God at arm's distance. But whatever the reason, I want you to understand today that if you want to get in the habit of connecting with Jesus, you've got to practice these things. And you've got to do so routinely. Again, not in a legalistic way, not like you have to check each one of these off your list if you don't, God's magic. No, these are the things that will build you up. If you say you want to have the best year yet, these are the things that you have to focus on. These are the things that you need to do. Prayer, fasting, solitude, taking in God's Word. These are important. And so for today, for the rest of our time today, I really just want to focus in just solely on prayer. Prayer is so, so important. Because it's one of the main things that God uses to communicate with us. Prayer is one of the main things that God uses to change us. It's what He uses to change you. I love it. I heard a pastor once say that prayer may not always change the circumstances around you, but it always changes you. And it changes you because you're connecting with Jesus. You're communicating with the Father. It's a beautiful thing. You're building a relationship. You're building a relationship. You're talking with Him. But again, just like I said with some of those other things, prayer seems so simple, yet so many people struggle with it. And I've said it time and time again here and in conversations with other people that one of the reasons that prayer is a struggle for many people is because we overcomplicate it. We make it out to be this huge, like, weird, you know, thing, when in reality, it's just talking with God. It's just having a conversation with Him. But yet we get nervous and overcomplicated. We think that we have to talk a certain way. You know, we all know those people that when they pray, they break out the old English out of nowhere, and you're like, whoa, what's happening? What did he say? I don't know. What did she say? That was weird. Right? They start talking like totally different ways, and then we think we've got to talk a certain way. We think that we have to say certain things and not say other things, that we have to always close our eyes, you know, bow our heads, fold our hands, or whatever it may be. And that there's like these specific rules that we have to follow when we pray. And so we just overcomplicate it. We put prayer in this box, and the result is us not having a very good prayer life. Because we're not communicating with God how God designed us. How many of you ever had a conversation with somebody, like be honest, and you knew it online, and throw up your hand as well, but that you've been in a conversation with someone and you know they were full of it, right? You know they were putting on a front, it was fake, it wasn't good. Someone over here is like, yeah, this guy right here. We've all seen those. We've probably all done that. But you see, a lot of time that's how we approach God in prayer. We think we have to act a certain way. And so really we come before him like just faith is all get out. But in reality, he wants us just to come to him and talk with him in the way that he's created us. In our voice, with our hurt, with our pain, with our passions, with our excitement, with our joy. He wants us to come before him and just have a conversation with him. And when we realize this, right, that prayer is simply just having a conversation with him with in the way that you're created, in the way that you're wired, an honest conversation, that's when we begin to connect with him like never before. That's when prayer is exciting. That's when things start happening. That's when we start to have our best year. Because we're in tune with the Father in a real conversation. You begin to change when you have that kind of prayer life. And you change and you become more and more like him because you're spending more and more time with him. It's really simple. It makes sense. And we believe that for other relationships in our life. You know, I don't know how many times my parents said, hey, don't hang around this person because you're going to become like them. Right? But what about it's the same thing with God? More and more time we spend with him, we're going to become more like Jesus. It makes sense. But we've got to believe that. And we've got to begin to practice that. So, if you tend to struggle with prayer, right? You tend to struggle with it, you kind of put it in this box, and you kind of struggle with it, and you're looking for maybe some very clear, practical directions on how to begin to pray maybe better or differently or connect more with God. Or maybe you have a decent prayer life and you just want to take it to the next level. I want to share with you two types of prayers today that you can begin to implement and practice daily. Two types of prayers. And again, as you approach these two types of prayer, you do it from how you're wired. You do it in your voice and the way you connect with God in an authentic way. So these are more just roadmaps. This is a guide. These are things that we see in Scripture with how to pray. And the two types of prayers that we're going to focus on is full-out prayer and breath prayers. Full-out prayer and breath prayers. So let's talk about full-out prayer. And when we look at the model prayer that Jesus used to teach his disciples, right? Like when he was praying there, like Jesus teaches us to pray like you pray. And then he said, okay, pray like this. And then he gives us what we know is the Lord's Prayer, right? When we look at that prayer, and then when we look at other passages in the New Testament on prayer, we could presume that prayer, again, talking with God, includes at least these four elements. We're going to cover four elements that prayer that we know at least consists of, right? The first element that we see that prayer consists of is praise and thanksgiving. Like, don't skip that piece right out the gate. Prayer should consist of thanksgiving and praise. Praise and thanksgiving, right? When we talk to God, when we go to him, we need to praise him. We need to worship him. We need to let him know that we are thankful for who he is and what he's done in our lives. We need to praise him and we need to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When you pray, when you talk to God, you're to be thankful. You're to praise him. You're to worship him. You're to celebrate all the things that he's done in your life. You're to recognize and verbally tell him, thank you for the fact that you are all-knowing, that you are all-powerful. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me grace and mercy when I don't deserve it. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for getting me out of that sketchy situation I was in. Thank you for giving me the words to say in that weird spot that I was in that very difficult conversation that I didn't know really what to say, but you gave me the right words to diffuse it. Thank you for helping me in that interview. Thank you for giving me the right words to say as I gave this presentation, or whatever it may be. But we need to live a life of thanksgiving to Jesus in our prayer life. So when you pray, make sure that you praise Him and you offer thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving. The next element that we see is confession. It's confession. Like we need to own up to our flaws and our failures before God. Again, He already knows it. He knows what you did. He's just waiting for us to own it. And that's a part of our prayer life, is to confess and own these things to God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But I want you to notice the very first word. What's the very first word?
If.
If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. So we have to own up to our mistakes, to our flaws, to our failures. And I don't know about you, but that's a daily thing for me. It's a daily occurrence. But we need to confess, again, in any relationship, being open and honest and owning your screw-ups is key to a healthy relationship. If you mess up and screw up in your marriage or in your friendship or with your boss or with your kids, it's important, if you want that relationship to move forward, for you to own it, confess what you did, and then work to not do it again, right? Like, I know that's what my wife expects of me, right? When I say something stupid that I shouldn't say that upsets her, hurts her feelings, like, she's going to be looking for me to own that. And I should own that. Because that shows that I value that relationship. I value the relationship enough to say, I messed up. I'm sorry. Forgive me for that. And we have to do that in our relationship with Jesus. So our prayer life should consist of confession. The next element that we see, which is probably the most popular element of prayer, is petition and intercession. Like, this is what typically people do the most of. Basically, that means you're asking God for something, right? Petition means that you're asking God for something for yourself, and intercession is basically that you're asking God for something on behalf of somebody else, right? God, help me to get feeling better. God, help my wife to start feeling better. God, help me to pass this exam that I didn't study for. Just, I didn't look at you. I said that. But you're making requests to God. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything. Right? We've all heard this verse. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, there's that thanksgiving piece again, present your requests to God. You see, God wants us to bring our requests to Him. Like, that's good. Like, He wants that. That should be a part of our prayer life. But it's only a part. We like to focus everything on that. But it's a part of our prayer life, but it's important. He wants us to come to Him and share those things, to cry out to Him, Lord, help me with this. Lord, be with this person, whether it be physically, mentally, or emotionally, it's or spiritually. Like, help me in this area. He wants us to do that in prayer. It's a valuable and important part of our prayer lives. And then finally, the last element that we're going to see, and again, we talked about the most common. This is probably the least common, and that's element of prayer, and that's listening. Part of your prayer life should consist of listening. But you see, we love to talk and talk and talk. And sometimes we just need to shut up and listen. We have to create space, right? We have to create space to hear God's voice. You know, what's the point in us saying, hey God, I thank you for this. I praise you. I worship you. Lord, I confess this and that, and I pray that you would be with this person. Okay, amen, and then just running out the door. Or making those requests. Jesus, will you help me with this? Will you help me to have wisdom? Will you help me to make this right decision? And then just completely shutting it off and moving on and never stopping to listen. We've got to create that space. We have to listen for the voice of God, because if we don't, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss what he might be saying to you. You're going to miss that. You're going to miss maybe what he wants to do in and through your life. You're going to miss that answer to prayer, that petition that you made, the answer to it, because you're too busy. You won't shut up, and you won't listen to what God has to say. Listening is important because God speaks to us. He will let you know certain things. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. And it may not be an audible voice. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I have heard it very clearly to where it was almost like that. Some of my favorite ways that God speaks is when you're driving down the road. Maybe you ask God that morning to give me, Lord, just give me some wisdom. Help me to find opportunities to love somebody today. And you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden, someone from high school, their name just pops in your head. And it happens to me all the time. And there's been times I said, oh, that's weird. I haven't thought about them in a while. And I keep on cruising. But then there's been other times, like, you know what? I'm going to take that as God's voice, and I'm going to reach out to them. And I promise you, almost every time that that's happened, I'll reach out to that person. They're like, man, thank you so much for texting or calling. I've been going through it. I'm really struggling with this and this and that, and I needed to hear from somebody today. Boom, that was God's voice. But if we don't shut up and listen, we're going to miss it. We have to listen because God speaks. John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said this. He said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. We have to listen to his voice. He will lead us, but we got to create space to do that. So praise and thanksgiving, right? Confession. Petition and intercession, listening. These are four elements that we find in Scripture that we know we need to be implementing in our prayer life. And so when we talk about full-out prayer, like complete prayer, we're talking about hitting all four of these prayer elements kind of as close as possible in equal amounts when you have that time of dedicated prayer. And I'm going to tell you, it's challenging. It's challenging. I find myself, and I try to stay very aware of this, I find myself getting in these patterns and rhythms of similar prayers where I lean more towards one or the other. Think about what it would look like if we had equal amount of praise and thanksgiving, confession, petitioning, and intercession, and listening. Man, think about what your relationship with God would look like if you could make your prayer life look like that. You see, a lot of times we'll hit like, you know, instead of hitting 25% across the board, like I'm a numbers guy, so I like to think of it that way. You know, but, you know, typically we hit intercession and petition like 85, 90%. The other 10 or 15%, you know, we might sprinkle in a little thanksgiving, maybe a little confession if we did something really bad and we thought about it. Not a lot of listening. Or I know there's plenty of people that focus that 80 or 90% on thanksgiving and praise. They love praising God, but they feel like it's selfish to ask God for something. Now, that's not what we see in Scripture. We need to do that. Part of prayer is petition. It's asking God, making requests for yourselves and for other people. Confessing, listening, equal parts, man, it's a beautiful thing. So when you spend dedicated time in prayer, I want you to really practice the habit of full out prayer. Again, not in a way like you have to do this or God's going to be, no, it's going to be healthy for your relationship with God. And when you try it and you mess up and it's awkward and it feels weird, give yourself grace because God gives you grace. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for connection. And this is the way that we can more intimately and more closely connect with Him. It's through that full out prayer. But the second type of prayer that I want to encourage you to begin practicing is very simple. Y'all probably won't like this one better. It's very simple, it's very doable, and yet it's very, very powerful and effective. And it's the habit of practicing breath prayers. Now, as we just read a few minutes ago in 1 Thessalonians chapter 15, we read 16 through 18, but verse 17 says this, to pray continually. It's a good verse. It's easy to memorize. Pray continually. Another version, pray without ceasing. We've all heard that. It means to be continuously in a spirit of prayer. One of the ways that we do that is through full-out prayer, right? You can pray that way, but also through these breath prayers, which are simply praying. It's basically a prayer that you can offer up to God just in one breath. That's why it's called breath prayer. A prayer that you can talk to God, that you can offer up just in one breath. It's basically like as you continue to go throughout your day, you can talk to God continuously through these breath prayers. Very simple. It's a breath prayer that captures maybe the heart of what you need in that moment or what you need in that day. You know what's coming up in your day and you need that breath prayer. Or maybe it's for a whole season, right? Like of your life. Like you know, like this is my breath prayer that I'm dedicated for this season because I'm going to need this. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had our one word service, right? Where I challenged you to pick one word and one verse that would guide your year. How beautiful would it be to have a nice breath prayer for your one word? And for me, my one word is seek, right? Like I want to seek God like never before this year. So my breath prayer for that could very simply just be, God, help me to seek you today. Or if I run into a situation, I don't really know what to do, it's just as simple as saying, God, help me to seek you in this decision. Help me to hear your voice in this decision. It's just a simple breath prayer that you can pray and truly mean and connect with God as you walk throughout your day to pray continuously. It could be something like, God, give me wisdom. Keep me humble. Help me to stay focused. Jesus, give me victory over that addiction. Jesus, give me encouragement. Jesus, help me to see you the way you see me. Jesus, help me defeat my depression today, or overcome it. Jesus, help me from punching this person in the throat. Don't act like we've been there. We've been there. Jesus, help me not to lose it in McDonald's double drive through line. Please, Lord. But there's simple breath prayers that we can offer up throughout the day. And I'm telling you, it is truly a game changer. When I started implementing this into my life, because you know what, I'll be honest with you, I am not, and you can be upset with me if you want on this, I am not like this major prayer warrior. I'm not one of those people that can go lock myself in my room and pray for like 5 hours. I'm too ADHD for that. Like, and that's the way God wired me, so I've embraced that. Doesn't mean I don't pray, and I shouldn't pray, and it doesn't mean I shouldn't practice full out prayer. And I do that. But these breath prayers, praying constantly throughout the day, has changed my life. Most importantly, it's changed my relationship with God. I feel closer to Him, more connected with Him all day long because I'm talking with Him. Like, it makes sense. But we complicate it. But prayer is just talking with God. So we need to practice and get in the habit of practicing full out prayer. I want you to challenge yourself to do that. But I also want to encourage you to take on that simple task. Finding out what that breath prayer is that you need for today. Like before you leave, ask God, what is the breath prayer that I need for today? Or what is the breath prayer? I know I've got all these things coming up. What's a breath prayer that I can just continue to bring to you for encouragement, for help, to help me to focus on you and not myself? And I want to encourage you to put that habit into your life. My hope and my prayer for you in 2021 is that it is truly your best year. But more importantly than that, I pray that for you individually and for LifePoint Church, that this is our greatest year spiritually. That we begin to connect with God like never before. That He just completely rocks your life with His power, with His goodness, and with His presence. That's how you're going to have the best year of your life, is by having the best year of your life spiritually. And you're not going to accomplish that by focusing on all the bad habits that you need to change. You're going to accomplish that by focusing on the healthy, good things that you can add or increase in your life. Those habits, those spiritual habits, to connect with Jesus more. Because the more you connect with Him, the closer you're going to be with Him. And the closer you are to Him, the more time you spend with Him, the more like Him you're going to become. That's when your life changes. That's when you're able to have victory over those habits or those addictions or over those things that continue to hold you back year after year. When you say, hey, 2019 is going to be my best year yet, and it's not. And 2020 is going to be my best year yet, and whatever anybody. But because there's these little things that continue to hold you back. And a lot of times, it's not our best year because we're taking it on our own. We're focusing on the negative. Okay, I gotta get rid of this, gotta get rid of this, gotta get rid of this. In reality, we need to say, you know what? Jesus, I need to put my eyes on you. I need to spend more time with you. I need to practice these habits of connecting with you. And when that happens, He takes care of those things. And it's a lasting change. Yeah, you're going to mess up from time to time. That's why you have grace. That's why God is so good. But I want to encourage you, especially this week, to really dig in to the spiritual habit of prayer. The way that you're wired, the way that you connect with God. Relax, talk with Him respectfully and reverently, but talk to Him as you would talk to anybody. If you're hurt, tell Him you're hurt. If you're mad, tell Him you're mad. If you're mad at Him, tell Him you're mad at Him. He can handle it. Be honest with Him. But talk with Him. Communicate with Him. Connect with Him like never before. And when you do, worship Him, praise Him, confess, make requests, and then listen. And as you go throughout your day, breath prayers. It's a game changer, I promise. Begin to practice those spiritual disciplines. Focus this week on prayer. Pray with me. Jesus, we thank You. First and foremost, we thank You for the fact that we can actually come to You in prayer. That we can talk directly to You. That we don't have to go through anyone else or any other thing, but we can come directly before You and worship You. Make requests, confess things, and just listen to Your voice. It's such a beautiful and humbling thing. It's something that honestly, as followers of You, we take for granted. And I'm sorry for that. And I pray that You would reignite in us a passion for talking and communicating and listening to You. To seeing Your face and hearing Your voice. Because we know that when we connect with You, and when we practice that habit of spending time with You, that's when You're going to begin to change our lives. We're going to be more like You because we're with You. As we continue in a spirit of prayer, maybe you're here this morning And honestly, that all sounds, you know, great or whatever, but for you, your first step in this thing is actually receiving Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've never stepped over that line of faith, that you've kind of been checking out the claims of Jesus, or you've been coming to LifePoint Church here in person, or you've been popping online and off, and you're just kind of checking things out, but you've never stepped over that line of faith. And if that's you, I just want to remind you, or maybe tell you for the first time, how much God loves you. He's not angry with you. He doesn't want to see you fail. He wants to see you thrive. And he's not looking for perfection. He's looking for a connection. He wants a relationship with you. And he loves you so much and wants that so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for you. To take on your guilt and your shame. And he died and he took that upon himself so that you could be made right before God. He died and he rose again, claiming victory. And because of that truth, because of that fact, we can come before God. We can know him and we can be in a relationship. The scripture says in Romans 10 now that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our hearts that God rose from the grave, that we'll be saved. So it's about confessing and believing. It's a confession piece, right? You confess that you have flaws, that you're not perfect. And you confess that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and is the only way to the Father. You confess and believe. There's no rules on a special prayer that you have to say that. You just pour your heart out to God. Just confess and believe. And he leads you. When you do that, he says you'll be saved. Forgiven. Connected to the Father for all eternity. You have that direct line of communication to him. It's beautiful. He will work on changing you from the inside. And if that's where you're at, just confess. If you have questions about that, and you're here in person, I'd love to talk to you after the service. If you're online, hit us up with a direct message, or you can drop it in the comment section that you want to pray and receive Jesus, or have questions about receiving Jesus, or that you did. It's great. Communicate with us there, or hit us with a direct message. We'd love to talk. Maybe you're here and you are connected to Jesus, but man, you've really been struggling. You're struggling with your relationship with him. You feel disconnected from him, and you realize it's because you're not practicing those good spiritual habits of connecting with him, of communicating. For whatever reason, you've just been distant. If that's you, I want to remind you again, he doesn't expect perfection. He just wants to connect with you. So receive his grace and his forgiveness. Get back on the horse and go. And this week I want you to specifically spend time focusing in on just talking with God. Just talk to him. Start with breath prayers. It's real simple. Begin connecting with Jesus again. And watch as he begins to change your life. And shape it into be more and more like him. Jesus, again, I thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. And I pray that you would be with each and every person that's here, a person that's watching online. That you would bless them. That you would give them strength. That you would give them the boldness to come before you, to worship you, to praise you, to confess, to make requests, to listen to your voice. God, may it be the best year of our lives yet because of you. Because of your work in our lives. Because we're focusing on connecting with you. Not focusing on the bad habits, the negative things, but focusing on you and allowing you to change us radically. Jesus, may this year be all about you. May each person here grow closer and closer to you. Every second, every day. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for allowing us to connect with you. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right, thank you all so much for being here with us once again for LifePoint Online. If this is your first time here with us, thank you all so much for being here and hanging out with us and checking out LifePoint Church. If you'd like more information or if you have any questions, you could either drop a comment below or you can visit us on our website or any of our social media platforms. And if you have questions, just go ahead and ask, and someone from our team will get back with you as soon as we possibly can. Also, if you want to continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings, or if you just simply want to give to LifePoint Church, you could head over to our website. It's lpc502.com. In the top right-hand corner is an online giving button. If you click it, it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. You can also begin to text to give by texting the amount that you want to give to the number 84321. But however you choose to give, we are just so thankful and humbled by the fact that you're on mission and that you're giving back just a portion of what it is that God has blessed you with. Again, thank you all so much for being here with us today. We hope that you'll join us in connecting and doing life online throughout the week. And until next Sunday, we'll see you later. Have a great one.